I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to have a few thoughts on the final verses of the chapter, verses 29 to 34. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34. And before we get into the sermon, I'd like to welcome another member to our tape audience. We are ready to call them tape congregation. A woman named Janine Mead. First met Janine when I was vicaring over in Plymouth many, many years ago, and I think she was a freshman in high school at the time, and she was interested in taking accordion lessons, so I gave her accordion lessons, and then her mother usually made me a meal, and that probably kept me going, or I probably would have died because I'm not a very good cook. But I was over at their house many, many times and had a lot of good meals over there, and I'd like to welcome Janine to our tape congregation. She lives in South Carolina, and this is going to mean that right now the tapes from our services are going to seven different states: Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, Colorado, Washington, California, and now South Carolina. So the Lord is spreading the word through our little group here, and we're glad to be able to help them in any way we can and have fellowship with them through means of tapes. On the way over this morning, I've noticed a lot of flocks of geese in the air. You probably did too. And this is one of the signs that spring cannot be too far away. And yesterday, for the first time during the year, I heard the cooing of a dove. I'd been kind of listening for that. And finally heard one. I had tried to get one to sing last Monday, but he wouldn't do it. He was sitting up on the wire out in the back of the house, and I was cooing to him, but he didn't coo back. But yesterday I heard one, and it's a little earlier this year than last. The last year I heard one on the 28th of February, and this is another sure sign of spring. And right now the sun is shining, and the snow is starting to melt, and those 30, 35 degree below zero days that we had seem quite a ways in the past. And now spring is coming. We're going to look, before we get into the text, at an odd happening. There were many odd battles that the children of Israel fought when Joshua took possession of the Holy Land. God was fighting for them and driving out the enemy. And one of the oddest of all the battles was back in Joshua chapter 10, where Joshua happened to be in Gilgal, and the people of Gibeon were under attack. There was a powerful army attacking the people of Gibeon. And they sent to Joshua for help. And he was in Gilgal, so he took his army and he made a night march to Gibeon. And so they marched all night and they started fighting. And they fought all day and they were winning a great battle. But then Joshua noticed that the sun was starting to set. And the children of Israel would not have time to destroy their enemy if darkness set in, and the enemy would have a chance to escape and regroup. And so Joshua called upon God, and this is recorded in Joshua chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. Then Joshua spake to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Now this was a very odd happening. Never had been anything like it before or since as far as a battle was concerned. Joshua called upon God to have the sun stand still, and the sun stood still. And the daylight stayed for almost a whole extra day. And so the army of Israel was able to conquer their enemies. the day the sun stood still. We've got a parallel in the life of Jesus, and so the title of this sermon is The Sun Stood Still, only we don't spell it S-U-N, we spell it S-O-N. There was a day when the Son of God stood still. And this is an amazing thing. Let's look at it. We're in Matthew chapter 20, beginning at verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Now you remember now that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he had told a parable one time. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Remember that? That was the parable of the Good Samaritan. Well, Jesus is going the other way. He's going from Jericho up to Jerusalem. And Jericho, you remember, is the city of the curse. It's the first city that was destroyed when the children of Israel miraculously crossed the Jordan River. And they came to Jericho, and remember, God told them to march around the city once a day for 6 days, and then the seventh day they marched around the city 7 times, and they shouted, and the walls came down. And so this powerful city of Jericho was destroyed. And then Joshua leveled a curse on that. A curse is found back in Joshua chapter 6. I'll read it for you. You can look it up at home. Chapter 6, verse 26. Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and in his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it." Now that was a curse, that the man who would rebuild that city would only do it at the expense of 2 of his sons. And this curse was fulfilled later on when the city was rebuilt. So this was the city of the curse, and this is where Jesus was. And he walked through this city of the curse on his way to Jerusalem, and there was a large multitude that was following him. And then something happened. "Behold, 2 blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.'" These men were blind. They couldn't see a thing. And this is hard for you and I to even begin to relate to. I mean, we've been able to see probably from the time we were born. Now, have you ever tied a blindfold around your eyes so you couldn't see anything and tried to live that way for an hour? It's a totally different world. Everything is black. Can't see a thing. And that's the way it was with these two men. They were blind. They just simply couldn't see. Now, these two men are a picture of your condition and mine when it comes to the spiritual world. Because by nature, we can't see spiritual things either. Even though we have physical eyes that can see, our spiritual eyes have been totally blinded. Blinded by the curse of sin, and the God of this world who blinds the minds of them that believe not. And so when we look at a miracle like this, we can put ourselves right into it. These two men present just a pathetic picture. Just pathetic. 2 guys sitting there, Luke tells us that they were begging. Why were they begging? They had to. That was the only way they could get anything to eat. They were completely dependent upon handouts from other people. And so they sat there by the wayside begging. All of a sudden they heard a noise. At least they could hear. And somehow they must have heard about Jesus Christ, because even though they were physically blind, they were not spiritually blind. They cried out and then they said, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the Son of David is what we call a messianic title. They believed that Jesus Christ was a Savior. That's what that means, because the Savior, remember, was going to come from the house and lineage of David. And these two guys believed that. And notice the timing here. Jesus had gone through Jericho and was just leaving the city, passed by there probably only for a few seconds, and they were there. They were in the right place at the right time. And who is the one, do you think, that brought them there at the right place at the right time? And trace that right back to the Heavenly Father, don't we? Right back to God, who controls everything, and He puts His own people where they're going to have to be in order to come in contact with His Son. So these two blind men are sitting in there, and they cry out for mercy. Well, that's all we can do, cry out for mercy. And when they did that, there was a rather odd reaction. Look at verse 31. The multitude rebuked them that they should hold their peace. They got bawled out and got criticized. You guys keep quiet. You shouldn't be calling out like this. You shouldn't be shouting. You shouldn't be making a noise and a tumult. Just sit there and keep your mouths shut. There's a lesson here. When you and I try to get close to Jesus Christ, there's going to be opposition to it. Because the devil does not want you to come to the Son of God. He doesn't want that. And the more, the closer you try to get to Jesus Christ, the more opposition you are going to have. But these men had, this is the only chance probably that they had in their whole life. The only chance. And they weren't going to blow it. And it didn't make any difference to them that they were being criticized. Look at what their reaction was. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Nothing is going to stop them from trying to come to Jesus Christ. And I think we've got a lesson here. You know, this is not the first time that we've had something like this. The devil always tries to put obstacles in the way of God's elect to keep them from coming to Christ. But what do? When there's a barrier in the way, what do? Do they say, "Well, I quit"? Do they say, "Oh, this is just too hard, it's too much trouble"? That's not what they do. They climb over the barrier, or they go around it. Somehow or other, they don't let it stop them. They're going to come to Jesus Christ no matter what. And yet in our day and age, sometimes maybe we try to make it too easy. We try to entice people to come, offering them donuts and coffee and Kool-Aid and prizes, and give them a bus ride, pick them up, and take them back. But somewhere along the line, somewhere, the sinner's got to be responsible for something. Somewhere along the line, they have to make an effort. It isn't all handed to them on a silver platter. You've got to want it. It's got to come from the heart. And the Holy Spirit's the only one that can give you that. It's the only one. These guys are not going to be stopped no matter what. And now comes the miracle. Here, these guys are seeing. Remember, Jesus is walking. It's kind of hard to get somebody that's walking to stop. A few months ago, Henry Aaron, the great home run hitter, came to La Crosse. He was going to give a talk at the auditorium there. And he was walking down a hallway. Photographer happened to be at one end. A little boy was there at another. Boy had a piece of paper and a pencil. And Henry Aaron was walking down the hallway after he'd given his talk. And the kid came up to him and held out the paper and a pencil. Wanted his autograph. You know what Henry Aaron did? Kept right on walking. Right on walking. Right by this kid. Which I guess is his prerogative, if that's what he wants to do. But I don't know, how much trouble would it have been to stop and sign an autograph for a 6 or 7 year old? What that would have meant to the kid. He didn't do it. Kept right on going. I guess he figured he was too busy and he had a schedule with me. Well, that's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? People are just too busy. Now, I don't know what he had on his schedule, but I know what Jesus Christ had on his agenda that day. He was going to Jerusalem. And the reason he was going there was to suffer and die. This is the most important mission in the whole world. But when these two guys called out, here's the miracle. In verse 32, and Jesus stood still. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? The Son stood still. The Son of God, who created everything. And here are two guys, two blind people, that nobody even cared about. They were beggars. And they were sinners. And the Son of God stopped. Stood still. This is a miracle. This is a tremendous miracle that the Son of God would listen to the cry of a couple poor beggars. If you were sitting in a parade and the President of the United States was walking through that parade or being driven through it and you called out to him, do you think he'd stop? Jesus Christ stops for you, though. You're kind of like these blind men, so am I. We're sinners. By nature, there's nothing good about us. And the miracle is that when you cry out to Jesus, he listens. And he'll stop. It's a tremendous miracle. We need two miracles. We need to have our eyes open and we need to have our ears open. We've got to have these two miracles that we're not going to be saved. We've got to have eyes that can see and we've got to have ears that can hear. And I'm not talking about your body. I'm talking about your soul. We need these two miracles. And there's only one place we can get the miracle. The Bible says the seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord hath made both of them. So these guys are sitting there. They cry out to Jesus and Jesus stopped. And he called them. And he said, what will ye that I shall do unto you? What do you guys want? Now remember, they were sitting there begging. Now what do you think they're going to say? When Jesus says, you know, what do you want? How about $1,000? If you have $1,000, they could go out and buy something to eat. It's not what they wanted. They didn't have any money. More than likely, they didn't have any money. But that's not what they wanted. They want something better than that. Something better than that. They said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Lord, we want to see. We've been sitting here in darkness all of our lives. We want to see. It's not bad. So Jesus had compassion on them, and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. This is a tremendous thing. Nobody but the Son of God could have done this. People who are blind, nobody but the Son of God could have done this. And it's the same thing with spiritual blindness. Doesn't make any difference how good an IQ you've got, how smart you are. Doesn't make one single bit of difference. That's not what we're talking about. Doesn't make any difference how much education you've had. If you've gone to a seminary, doesn't make any difference. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, the Lord tells us. Neither can he know them. He can't. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. That's why. If you want spiritual eyesight, you've got to do the same thing these guys did. You've got to be a beggar. You've got to sit there. You've got to cry out to Jesus Christ to have mercy on you. And he will. That's the only way you can get it. It's the only way. And so he touched their eyes, and all of a sudden, they could see. What do you think they did then? You know, for the first time, probably, we're not really sure of that, but at least for the first time in a long time, at least, they could now see. They could see where they couldn't see before, and even though the sun was shining, didn't do them any good. But now it did. Now all the glories of God's creation, they could see. What do you think they did? They followed Him. They followed Him. And we've got a lesson here, don't we? Jesus Christ will stop for you. The sun will stand still, but only for a moment. And then He's going to move on. And He gives us two commands. The first command is, come unto Me, which is what they did. And the second command is, follow Me, which they also did. Coming to Jesus Christ is not enough. You've got to follow Him. And He's going to take you places that you'd never go before. He's going to take you into the middle of storms, where if you were walking by your own insight, you'd never go. But if you follow Him, that's where He's going to take you. And the reason He's going to take you there is because He wants to bless you. There are blessings in those storms that He wants you to have. So He's going to lead you right into the middle of them. There's going to be one storm after another. And the more of these storms you pass through, the stronger you're going to get. And finally, at the end of your life, He's going to lead you into the greatest storm of all. He's going to lead you into the valley of the shadow of death. But you're not going to stay there. You're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you're going to come out the other side. And when you go there, you're not going to be afraid, because He's going to be with you. Fear not, for I am with you even unto the end of the world. And so you follow Jesus Christ. You do that by studying His Word every single day, living according to it. And you follow Him one day at a time, one step at a time, and finally at the end He's going to lead you into the new heavens and the new earth. You're going to be with Him there forever. So the two blind men here, just like you and me, we have the same need, we have the same solution to the problem. The tremendous miracle in the day that the sun stood still. We'll end up with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we confess to You that by nature we are spiritually blind. We can't see a thing. And even though the sun is shining before our eyes, we can't see it. And so as these two beggars, we have need for You to stop and listen to our cry, which comes through the power of the Holy Spirit, pleading with You to give us eyes that are able to see. And we thank You that You do stop for us and heal us. And we pray also then that You give us the strength and courage and faith, not only to come to You, but also to follow You wherever You go, through the valley of the shadow of death into Your eternal kingdom. We pray this in Your name. Amen.